Please let's stand up for the prayer of illumination. Everybody, please stand down. Thank you. Dear Lord, you are our Father. We love you. We want to thank you for the blessing of your salvation, for you are the God of second chances. You give us many opportunities to realize your Son's sacrifice for our sins. As a parent, dear God, you understand what it is to see your child suffer, and as our Father, you protect us and guide us. So today, in a very special way, we want to thank you for giving us the blessings of our mothers. Their love reflects your love, God. Their sacrifice mirrors your sacrifice, Jesus. Bless our mothers, guide them, bless us as their children, so we can honor them. And to those of us who have been blessed with the blessing of motherhood, let us guide our children to you, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's go to our gospel reading. It's on the book of John 10, 1 through 10. You can find that on the Pew Bible, page 103, in the New Testament. That's the second part. Right. So let's read the Word of God. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Our expository text today is in keeping with the shepherd theme. It is perhaps the most beloved psalm, Psalm 23, which you'll find on page 501 in your Pew Bibles. Be reading verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord. Read about a family that moved from a little tiny apartment to a big house. And the 8-year-old was asked how he liked his new house. He said, it's great. Said, I get my own room. My little brother gets his own room. My sisters get their own room. But poor mom, she's still stuck with dad. Poor mom. 4-year-old Andrew spilled grape juice on the carpet, and his mother went into a tirade. And in the midst of the tirade, he said, Mommy, Mommy, did you forget to ask Jesus to be nice today? Kids, right? Well, welcome to Mother's Day 2014. Mother's Day, of course, is not a religious holiday, but it almost is. And in Puerto Rico, it might as well be, right? Some people call it a Hallmark holiday, but it has great origins. You know, at least in the U.S. context, it goes back to the Civil War, to moms who lost sons in that horrible conflict and joined together for peace, for the welfare of society. And that movement began there and then bore fruition and was codified in 1914 by Woodrow Wilson, who said that on the second Sunday of every May, we will honor our mothers as a national holiday. So we want to pray for moms today, especially moms who may have lost children in war. We want to pray for moms today, especially two whose husbands are away serving far afield, who are fighting on the home front, managing children. I want to pray for all you moms, because it's not easy being a mom. In fact, a study recently shows that by the time a child reaches the age of 18, moms have put in the equivalent of 18,000 hours of child-related labor. That's a lot of time. In fact, the same study points out that for moms who do not have kids, that gives them the equivalent of 3 months of leisure per year. So moms, those of you who have given up those 3 months of leisure to raise children, we honor you today. We do. Historians note that the great godliness of John and Charles Wesley, the founder of Methodism and the writer of so many songs in our hymnals, their godliness can be traced back to the godliness of their godly mother, Susanna, who dealt with some 14 children. Imagine. Abraham Lincoln, arguably the greatest president of the United States, attributed his greatness to what? To his mother. Even this week, how many of us heard the tearfully moving acceptance speech of NBA most valuable player, Kevin Durant of Oklahoma? He went to great lengths to acknowledge the contributions of his dear mother, Wanda, a struggling single mom. He said, quote, you, mom, made us believe. You kept us off the street. You put clothes on our back. You put food on the table. And when you couldn't eat, you made sure that we could eat. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP. Wow. Gotta love a son who acknowledges his mom, huh? He says that his mom, a single mom, raised him and his brother, and times were tough, but his mom always made him believe that things were gonna get better. Things were gonna improve. God was gonna bless them. In fact, he says, one of my best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. We didn't have a bed. We didn't have any furniture. We didn't have anything. Just an apartment. But I remember gathering in the middle of the living room and hugging each other, saying we had finally made it. We have our own apartment. We've made it. Isn't that interesting? Now, folks, there's no denying that poverty contributes to the breakdown of the family structure, but Durant's example proves that there are a lot of folks who are financially poor who are spiritually rich. Spiritually rich in Christian love, Christian values, Christian character, and godly example. And I firmly believe that what we need are not really more government programs. What we really need are more godly moms and dads who raise their children in the way righteousness. That's what we really need. Now, although our text today from Psalm 23 doesn't mention moms in particular, parents in general, it does talk about God as a shepherd who leads us into paths of righteousness. And as parents of children, we can learn from the parenting practices of our Lord as he acts as a good shepherd for us. So let's look at Psalm 23 anew, which states from the beginning that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures beside still waters. Now that's the good news, that the Lord is our shepherd. If that's the good news, what's the bad news? Well, the bad news is if the Lord is our shepherd, that means we're the sheep. Now, why is that bad news? Well, because, let's face it, sheep are not exactly the smartest animals on the planet. In fact, it's arguable that sheep are the dumbest animals on the planet. So if he's the Lord and we're the sheep, what does that mean, folks? Pastor Edward Marquette notes that part of the reason sheep are so dumb is because of the herd instinct. Do you know that sheep will literally walk off a cliff if the lead sheep walks off a cliff? Sheep can be hungry, they can be starving, and if you put a pot of food in front of the lead sheep and the lead sheep passes that food, the other sheep will pass the food even though they're starving. Leonard Sweet says if you have a line of sheep and you put a big log in front of them, the first sheep will jump over it, the second sheep will jump over it, and in succession, and if you move the log, guess what happens? They keep jumping. Over nothing. It's true. So sheep are dumb animals. Not because of their unintelligent, but because of the herd instinct. It is stronger than their intelligence. Now think about that. Doesn't that sound like some people you might know? Whatever the rest of the crowd does, that's what they do. In fact, the herd's instinct is strong in every generation. It seems especially strong in the younger generations. I mean, it's funny how kids today say, I'm going to be a nonconformist. I'm going to be rebellious. I'm going to get piercings all over my body. I'm going to get tattoos over every millimeter of my skin. I'm going to wear certain clothing that's going to set me apart as a nonconformist. But in reality, what are they doing? They're like sheep following the trends of their peers. They're not nonconformists. They're so conforming. They're like sheep, aren't they? But of course, we can't criticize the younger generation because we were the same way, weren't we? How many of you had a mother who said these words to you, asked this question of you? If everybody else jumped off a bridge, would you jump off? Did your mothers ever say that? Oh, yeah. In fact, if I had a dollar for every time my mother said that, I'd be a millionaire. That's the herd mentality. That's acting like the Bible says we act, like sheep. We're like sheep. So sheep need a shepherd. That's the second thing we need to see here. Since you and I are so much like sheep, aren't you glad that we have a good shepherd, like a good mother, who looks after us? The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. How many of you remember when you were little, your mother made you take a nap? Made you. Take a nap. Why did she have to make you take a nap? Because kids will keep going until they get irritable and mean and then they collapse. You need someone to make you take a nap. Same with going to bed. You didn't want to go to bed. Your mother made you go to bed. Why? You need your rest. You need your sleep. Well, do you know that's the way sheep are? I just learned this week. In Palestine, I've decided I'm not going to be a shepherd. I don't like their hours. Do you know what time sheep start feeding in the morning? 4 a.m. They start feeding at 4 a.m. By 10 o'clock, they're full, they're hot, they're thirsty. But apparently, they can't eat with a full stomach of undigested grass. So the shepherd has to make them lie down. That's where we get this verse. He makes me lie down. That's the part of the shepherd's care, to make the sheep rest. Now, normally, when we wake up, the first thing we want to do is get ready for work, and then we want to go to work, and we want to work until we get tired, then we'll rest, right? But here the shepherd, early on, makes the sheep rest. I think we can learn from that. In fact, my word to you is, before you go to work, you need to rest. And I'm not talking about an extra snooze button cycle. I'm talking about resting in the Lord. I'm talking about getting up and opening the Word of God, reading the Word of God, spending time in prayer, spending time in meditation, as we talked a few weeks ago. How important that is for us to rest in the Lord, to build that spiritual reservoir to take on the day that's before us. But we don't do that, do we? We get up fast and furious, getting ready to run the rat race, right? To give ourselves a chance, maybe not to be the Joneses, but to keep up with the Joneses. That's our goal. Keep up with the Joneses. Even though, you know what the dirty little secret of the Joneses is? Have you heard it? The Joneses are up to their ears in debt. The Joneses are slaves to their creditors. But we want to keep up with the Joneses. We want to run the rat race, don't we? In fact, someone's come along and paraphrased Psalm 23 for modern times. Listen to this. It says, the clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done. Sound familiar? For my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My end basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. I think that's probably a more accurate description of our life Monday through Friday than Psalm 23. What do you think? But thankfully, we have a good shepherd who makes us lie down. Now, some of us work so hard, press so hard, stress so hard that we ruin our health and we end up in the hospital. Now, there's a couple ways that God can get us to lie down and rest. One way is for us to do it willfully and obediently. The other way is for us to end up in a hospital bed. That's the hard way. I don't counsel that way to find rest. Do it obediently. I like the story of the woman who was trying to get a hold of the pastor on Monday, and she called and called and called and couldn't get a hold of him. Finally, on Tuesday, she got a hold of him, and she upbraided him. She said, Pastor, I was calling you all day yesterday. Where were you? He said, Madam, Monday is my day off. She said, well, the devil doesn't take the day off. And he says, yeah, you're right. I'm trying not to live like the devil. Get it? Don't be just like the devil. Don't be a child of the evil one. Be a child of the Lord, the good shepherd of your soul, who knows that your soul needs rest. You need to rest in the Lord periodically. Don't forget that. So in sum, if the bad news is that we're like sheep, and the good news is that our Lord is like a shepherd, the even better news is that our good shepherd is willing to lay his life down for his sheep. And that's the next verse of our gospel lesson, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. This willingness of the Good Shepherd is tied to Psalm 23, where we read that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Don't you love that verse? I knew some people who named their dogs that, goodness and mercy. It'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? Goodness and mercy shall pursue you all the days of your life. Now, what's ironic about that verb, pursue, is that it's often used in a negative context. Usually, when someone is in pursuit of you, it is an enemy who wants to do you harm, who wants to injure you, who wants to capture you, who wants to kill you. But here, goodness and mercy are pursuing you. God pursues us. He goes after us. He does not leave us alone because He loves us, because He wants to bring us back into paths of righteousness. But again, if we are like sheep, then we need rescuing. For example, have you ever heard the expression, a cast sheep? Ever hear that? How many of you are familiar with Psalm 42, 11 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Well, the Palestinian shepherds would understand this analogy. What the translator of the King James Version was referring to there was a cast sheep who is cast down. That's an old English shepherd's term. That describes a sheep that gets turned over on its back. Did you know that sheep, like turtles, once they're on their backs, can't get themselves upright? They're stuck there. And it's a pitiful sight because their legs are flailing and they're bleeding. Not bleeding, but bleating. And they're fearful. Why? Well, because vultures or buzzards or cougars or dogs or coyotes might come and maul them. But they're stuck there. They can't move. They can't right themselves. And that's a tremendous picture of what God is willing to do to right us. In fact, David in Psalm 51 says, "Restore me to the joy of my salvation." He wants to restore us. He wants to right our souls. He wants to right our spirits. He wants to right our conditions. And some of you here today may be cast down. You may be in guilt over something that you've done, something that you've said, something that you keep doing. And you're like a cast sheep. You're locked into it. You can't shake it. You can't escape it. But God says, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, if you just admit to God what He already knows, He is faithful and just to forgive you, to restore you. That's all it takes. He wants to restore you. Now, why is God, our Father, able to forgive us our sins? Because God the Son came as the Good Shepherd who laid His life down for the sheep. For in our natural flesh, we are all like sheep. For we have all gone astray, each of us our own way. And spiritually speaking, we are like cast sheep, stuck in the hopelessness of trying to live life our own way, according to our own strength, according to our own wisdom, apart from God. How many of you are living life like that today? Living your own way, according to your own plans, your own purposes, your own wisdom. Let me ask you this morning, how's that working for you? How is that really working for you? Be honest. Do you feel a peace that passes understanding? Do you wake up on Monday morning with a real sense of purpose in your life? A real sense of meaning that what you're doing has significance? Do you wake up in the dead of night and wonder what life is all about? Are you gnawed from within by guilt? How's that working for you? You're like a cast sheep. You need rescued. You're lost. You need restored. That's what God wants to do. That comes close to describing your inner life. What you need is a shepherd who's willing to lay down his life, to leave his life behind, to come after you, to seek after you and find you. But here's the great mystery of the gospel message now revealed. When you stand before God, you are no longer like a lost sheep or a cast sheep. But listen to this. The shepherd of ours is such a good shepherd that he gave up his life so completely that he was willing to become one of us. And I don't simply mean a human being. He was willing to become like a cast sheep. He was willing to become the paschal lamb. He was willing to become the Lamb of God back on that Good Friday, as our sins were placed upon him. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might be forgiven, refreshed, restored, brought back to the path of righteousness. And that's the good news I have to share with you today. The good news that even though we're like sheep, we have a good shepherd who became like us so that we could become more like him. So that you and I could actually become the sisters and the brothers of our Lord himself. Imagine that. You know, in closing, the story of the shepherd who had a lamb, sheep, whose little lamb died. And in the same flock he had a little lamb whose mother was mauled. Now it would make sense to take this little orphan lamb and unite it with this bereaved ewe lamb, and she could kind of adopt him, take care of him, mother him. But there's a problem. That's against the laws of nature. She won't. Unless the shepherd takes the little lamb that died and sacrifices it and bleeds it and takes the blood and covers the little lamb and presents it to the ewe. Then she will receive it as her own. Isn't that what God did for us? He took the blood of his precious little lamb, his son, and his blood covers us so that we can now be adopted into his family as sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters of one another. That's good news. That's good news. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that your word speaks the truth, tells it like it is. In our heart of hearts, we know and agree that in our own wisdom, in our own strength, in our own ways, we are lost. For some of us, that's evident in obvious ways. And for others of us, it's evident in those dark hours of the night when we're truly honest with ourselves and know that without you, life is ultimately empty, futile,
meaningless, purposeless. Thank you, God, that you do not leave us in that condition, but you pursue us, you come after us, you woo us, you love us, you draw us to yourself, and you adopt us through the blood of your Son and restore our souls and give us life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life that we might have life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.